All right, let's be honest. How many of you have ever been listening to a message, instruction from the Word of God, and you're listening, and you hear something, and you say, man, I hope they're getting that. Man, and the whole time, you just, every time the pastor says something, you look over. You're looking around. Am I talking to anybody in here? So I'm going to go ahead and tell you by the Holy Ghost today that when you're listening to this message and you start hearing that thing dialed in for somebody else because there's something in it that's bothering you, it's because the message is for you. And you're the one that's going to have to change. Amen, Pastor. So we've been talking about passages of Scripture where Jesus defines and refines his word and is very pointed and is very clear about what his intent is toward the way we treat others. How do you treat the people around you? Your family, your friends, the people you meet arbitrarily out in the public, the people at your job, the people that you interact with on a regular basis. The question is, how do you treat them? A better question may be, how do they treat you? Because I can usually tell by the way you're being treated the way you're treating other people. Because the law of sowing and reaping is accurate, and it is also listed in the Word of God. Now, I know there are many times that you sow good into people, and because they're dealing with issues of their own or they're dealing out of their own woundedness in their life, they'll lash back, they'll push back, and, you know, they may not be kind back. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you look at the general state of someone's life, and the way people speak of them, and the way people act around them. And when they walk in a room, there's two things that happen. They're either going like this when they see you come in, or they're going like this. And I'm just saying that's directly proportionate to the way that they are interacting with other people. Can you say amen? So I'm going to look into the book of James here. I'll read from the New Living Translation to start off with. You know, I use different translations to make sure that you're getting a well-rounded view of the Word of God and not just hearing it from one translation, because the Bible is very clear. It's taught line upon line, precept upon precept, and we don't want to try to bend a scripture out of one to make it say something that it needs to say or that it doesn't need to say. We just let the Bible interpret the Bible. So in the book of James, Chapter 4, verse 1, it asks the question. So we're going to start this off with a question. It says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from evil desires that war within you? You want what you don't have. My God, we could stop and preach a sermon just on that. We want what we don't have. So you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have. Some of y'all just slide down in that pew when I say, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. You have not because you ask not. But it doesn't stop there. Here's the real reason. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. Amen. You can close your Bibles. We're going home. Enough said. And I wish everyone could just get the revelation right there, including my thick head. I wish we could just read that and get it and stop it. But we can't and we don't. So as the pastor once said, read on. You don't get it because your motives are all wrong. Listen to this. You want only what will give you pleasure. You're like, well, no, that's not true, Bishop. I don't know about it. Okay, let's just go like this. Let's think of the last 10 prayers you prayed. We don't have to go any further. Might even just go to the last five, but let's just do the last 10 prayers that you prayed. Were those prayers designed to benefit God, or were they designed to benefit you? Guys, I love you. I'm not here to make anybody mad today, but you may have to roll your toes back just a little bit because God's trying to get our attention. And if we can't see the error in our ways, we won't see a reason to change. And if we can't be, we're not condemned, but we have to be convicted in our spirits by the Holy Spirit to know that, you know, maybe we're not doing it just right. You know, maybe we could do a little better job. Maybe we could change and alter a few things in our life, and that might bring something good back into our life. The fact that we're willing, the fact that we're actually going to do something different instead of doing the same thing, expecting a different result. So, you know, there's a lot going on in this verse. And as far as I'm concerned, it may very well be one or maybe the best. I don't know. But the best explanations of the human condition that I see in this entire Bible. I mean, it explains our human condition. That's it. And so I think these statements here, they point out and clearly highlight the motivation that seems to set us all up for failure. Wouldn't you agree? And because it sets us up for failure, then it causes us not to be able to receive the blessings that are due us from God. And if we're trying to get the reciprocal blessing of God on our life, then we have to make sure we're putting out the things that bring that blessing back to us. So just look at verse 1 alone. Can I just take the very first verse? It says, what is causing the quarrels and the fights among you? And then it gives the answer in form of a question. Don't they come from the evil desires that war inside of you? Man, we got some crazy stuff going on in our heads. If I can put an amplifier and stick them on people's heads and crank that thing up, we would all be going, ooh, ooh. How many people would like to have an amplifier put on your head? Nobody going to raise their hand on that one. Why? Because we are straight crazy. It's just a fact. And the only thing that will take crazy away is the Spirit of God. Because crazy didn't come from God. Okay? Why y'all looking at me like you're crazy? Y'all made me a little nervous when I looked out there. Everybody's like, that man just called me crazy. No, that man's just telling the truth. And I'm trying to preach the truth so we can get that crazy out of you and out of me. The difference is I'm crazy and I know it. Don't they come from the evil desires that war within you? Nailed it. Think of almost every argument that you've had, almost every fight that you've been involved with, and it's most likely it comes because someone failed you in an expectation. Right? You had an expectation of a person. They either did something or they didn't do something, and because of that, you got upset, you got irritated, you got aggravated. You think someone should have done this or that, or maybe they should have done this or said that, and they didn't do that, or they did do that, whatever it was. But something inward in you was displeased with something outward with them. So is the problem out here with them, or is the problem in here maybe with you and me? So, I I've been doing a lot of soul searching here because I'm trying to get some things fixed in my life. I don't know where you guys are, but I'm not fixed yet. I work on it every day, and I'm a hot mess. And sometimes we need to be able to look in the mirror and say, you know, we're not as holy as we think we are. We're not all that. There's a whole lot of this in there, too. So what I'm trying to say is, I don't know about you, but I'm trying to find ways to make that better. And this kind of instruction is what challenges us to do it. But we have to be willing to say, yeah, that's me right there. Yep, that scripture's talking to me, and I'm probably the one that needs to be listening to that, because if I'd make a change, my life could be better. So let me ask you a question. Does the reason that you're getting upset and the reason why you're arguing and you stand frustrated, does it have scriptural support? That's the question. So let me help you. Let's go to Colossians 3:12. I'll read from the NIV this time. Since God chose you to be holy people, He loves you. And you must clothe yourselves. Clothe yourselves. It means you got to put something on. With tender-hearted mercy, with kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. It got real quiet in here. This is what's expected of us. Every person, doesn't matter what your personality is, doesn't matter what family you were born into, doesn't matter what color the culture you come from, the color of your skin, whether you're big, tall, whether you're tough, not tough, weak, strong, doesn't matter. You're supposed to clothe yourselves with mercy and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And the instruction goes on, because when you, it's kind of progressive as you do these things. Then it says next, then you can make allowance for each other's faults. Oh, that's hard. Step away from the notes. How many of you like to punish? Nobody's going to raise your hand, but it looks like this. Your spouse does something wrong. Your friend does something wrong. And you sull up. You pout. All couples looking straight ahead. Do not look to the left or the right. How many of you just lift your pinky would say, my spouse is a powder. Pinkies up all over the house. On both sides. We pout, don't we? We don't get our way. We're going to shout a little bit, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Things aren't going our way. We get that look. Ladies, get. Men, they like to cross their arms. We got to look. Why? Because something inside is not right. And if something inside isn't right, you will constantly be affected by the things outside around you. And so the scriptures are saying, then if you have something that is on you, how many times have you looked at somebody and you go, man, what's wrong with you? I mean, they walked up and the funk's knocking at your door. They just walked, they ain't even said hello yet. They're so full of funk, it's leaking over on you. You said, man, what's on you? I don't know what's on you, but I don't want it on me. How many of you have said it? Tell the truth. How many have been the one that had it on? Come walking up and everybody's having a good time till you showed up. Something was on you. And it said you got to clothe yourself. Well, you can't clothe yourself. You have to take something off or you put something on. I'm not going to have this on and try to put another outfit. It won't fit. You can't have two outfits on at the same time or you are straight crazy. So sometimes you got to take some off. How many people have ever had a spirit of heaviness? So the Bible says then you got to take off that spirit of heaviness and you got to put something back on, right? You got to put a garment of praise on. So here what the Lord's saying is, and when we're walking around talking to our brothers and sisters, before we get the face, before we get the look, before we raise the pinkies, you know, before we get crazy, we need to take that off. Because you can't get the blessing until you take something, until you put something on. So in other words, he tells you then put on those other things, the gentleness, kindness, and humility. And when you begin to put those things on, the things on the outside don't pass through to the inside. And I'll even go as far as to say, when you're putting those things on, you're also putting those things out. And it's very hard. If I walk up to you and I got a look on your face, and I'm all wrinkled up in my face and watered up in my face, what are you going to do when I walk up? You're going on defense. Your face is watered up too. If you want to have fun with some folks, I do this all the time. I love to do it. I'll just walk up and I'll smile at somebody. And they'll just walk and they'll go, you ever do that? You should. Try it. I want you to start trying. It's the most amazing thing. You can control people, man. No matter how bad a day you're doing. Yeah, you're doing that. They could have been having a horrible day. You walk up smiling, they'll smile back. If you're kind, people's nature is to be kind back. If you're gentle, then they bring it down. They stand down. And then they're gentle back. You use a soft answer, they answer back softly. You see, that's called the blessing. That's called putting something on so the blessing can be on you. How many people remember Esau? Yeah, remember? Remember his brother snuck in and wanted the blessing. Remember that? Oh, Jacob, he wanted to have that blessing. But see, he couldn't get the blessing because of what was on him. So what he did, he went and he killed an animal in because Esau was a hairy man. And see, he had to take that fur and he had to put it on. And he went in before his father and he won the blessing, so he put that fur on him. He had to put something on. And then when the father, he said, oh yeah, that he thought that was Esau. And so he gave him his blessing. Anybody listening? Sometimes you got to put something on if you want a blessing. So I'm not telling anybody. Let me make something clear. I don't tell anybody what to do. I just read the Word of God, and then usually it's pretty clear what you need to do. But it's your choice. I'm just telling you, I'm working on it myself, and I already see changes. Bible says a soft answer, turn away wrath. There's so many times somebody says something, I'm like, I just chew them up and swallow them. Just smile right through it. It don't even matter if you mean it or not. You got to start somewhere. Now, if you think making a day about you, remember I gave you all homework and I said, listen, I want to take one day and I want you to make it about everybody but you. And you saw how hard that was to make it just one 24-hour period. Try this one. I'm going to go ahead and tell you ahead of time, it's going to be your homework assignment. And we're going to try to put on what the Lord says so we can get that reciprocal blessing working back to us, because what we're putting on is what we're putting out. And it says, make allowance, because when you're putting that on, it enables you to make allowance for other people's faults. People are going to do things wrong. You know why? Because you do. People are going to do dumb things. You know why? Say, because I do. Say it, because I do dumb things. So if I do dumb things, other people are going to do dumb things. And I don't know about you, but I couldn't have gotten this far and been doing even close to what I'm doing now if somebody hadn't forgave me. If somebody didn't love me through my hot mess. Now, you don't give permission, you understand? You don't reward it. You don't reward bad behavior. That's not what I'm saying. Don't be confused. You can give a stiff rebuke from the Word of God, but you don't have to be ugly when you do it. And I'm telling you, if you'll do it that way with love and gentleness, and they've seen every other area of your life, you've approached them that way, then they'll receive it from you. because you'll have earned respect. And I don't know about you, but I'll listen to people that I respect. It says, remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Can I say this? It can't just be a one-way street. You can't always be asking the Lord to forgive me and asking people to forgive you, but then you don't want to forgive nobody else or anybody else. You, does that make sense? God travels down two-way streets. It's reciprocal. The title of the message is the law of reciprocation. That means it has to be both ways, both parties acting and reacting. Can you say amen? So listen to this one, verse 14. Above all, it's pretty important, clothe yourselves with love. Why? Because it binds us all together in perfect harmony. And I believe now the scripture is so progressive that if you read it and you've done these things up to this point, then it says, and these things will follow, basically. And let the peace of that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Now here comes the peace. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. People tell me all the time, they come up to me, Pastor, what's my calling? And what they mean is, you know, am I supposed to go to New Guinea, you know, and be a missionary? Am I supposed to? How about starting right here? You are called, that's calling. You are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So what's my calling? I'm going to give everybody in here right now. You don't ever have to ask anybody again in your life what your calling is. I'm going to give it to you right now. How many people want to know what your calling is? All right, here it is right here. Your calling is you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. There's your calling. Now remember, you had to do all these other things ahead of the verse, right? You got to clothe yourselves in tender mercy and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, get you to the next step. That then helps you to be able to make allowance for other people's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Why? Because you're creating a two-way street. The Lord forgives, and so you have to forgive others. All that's working now. And then above all, now once you got that, now you know how to love people. So it says then, above all, clothe yourselves in that love now, right? It's not conditional love, it's unconditional love. And then it'll bind us all together in a perfect harmony. Then when you get that created, then the peace of God that comes from Christ will rule in your heart. Then you can live in peace. And you can always be thankful. Kind of sounds like the Christian life, doesn't it? Like the Christian code of conduct. All listed right here before you. As simple as you can make it. And then the three things, it says, clothe yourselves in tenderhearted mercy, right? Kindness, gentleness, make allowance for each other's faults. Above all, clothe yourselves in love, which binds us together. Then it says, peace of Christ rule in your hearts, live in peace, always be thankful. Can you imagine what the church would look like if we mastered these? When I say the church, I'm not talking about glory, I'm talking about the church. If the worldwide church mastered these scriptures that seem so basic and so straightforward, you'd have to be a preacher to mess this up. I mean, this is crystal clear. There's no argument. And I'm going to show you more that it's the most important thing in the Bible. I'm going to show it to you here in just a minute. Because if you don't understand love, how can you understand anything else? When he's talking about the gifts, all the different gifts, he said, without love, it's like a resounding gong. It's a bunch of noise. You're just moving around making noise if your heart's not right. Look at your neighbor and say, we got to get our heart right. And I'm going to show it to you right here. Matthew 22, NIV. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, right? Okay. Matthew 22, 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord God. Well, he got asked, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your mind. I've been teaching on this for the last 4 weeks. The first and greatest commandment is loving God But watch, he didn't stop there. But the second is like it. That means it's just as equal. Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, God, there it is again. The law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love God, love each other. If your love is pure towards God, then your love will be pure towards people. If it's not, you won't. If you treat God like a magic genie in a bottle, I just go to him when I need a wish. That's how you're going to treat folks. It's going to go to him when you need something. Oh, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Preach a minute there, Bishop. Don't leave that just yet. Listen, my dad told me something one time. I'll never forget it. He said, you ever notice when people call you, when you pick up the phone, they always want something? I thought he was being a little harsh. I said, no, Dad. You know, man, I got people just call me, check up. No. He said, okay. He said, next 10 phone calls, he said, pay attention and you tell me. I said, all right. I did 10, 15, went all the way up to 20. All 20 calls, when they came to me, had nothing to do with me. It's what could I do for somebody else? It was mind-blowing. He was right. I didn't want him to be right. You understand? Why? Because here I am, you know, in my life, especially when he told me that, most of those folks, every one of them church folk. Hey. And we're the ones supposed to know these commandments. Galatians 5:14. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Right here. Hold up your Bibles. Anybody's got a Bible? If you got a phone and it's on there, hold it up. Say, right here. It's all about fulfilling love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, another do unto other scripture. Remember last session, session one? Ask, it'll be given. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be open. And at the end of that, the summary was do unto others. Wasn't talking about salvation, wasn't talking about entering into heaven. It was, even though all those things are taught all the way through the Bible, and you could certainly apply them there, the scripture ends in the verse, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's another do unto other scripture. There it is again. How many times have I shown it to you? You say, God, you're killing me. Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's killing the sin nature of the flesh. Why? So that the new man in Christ Jesus can emerge and be successful and learn how to reciprocate with the blessing of God. Some are like, oh my God, it won't go away. No, it won't. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. The entire book, Jesus said, the entire book, the fulfillment of this entire book, according to Jesus, is to love your neighbor as yourself. We need to talk about it. This is a book that tells us how to treat others. We have made it a book on how we can get reward. Let's go back to the beginning. You have not because you ask not. And when you ask, it says your motives are wrong. Because you're asking for your pleasures. You want things pleasures. It's for your own. That's not what this book is. This book is not about your pleasures. It's about pleasing others. And we wonder why we're not seeing the blessing of God. Listen, this thing's giving. I mean, every day I read it and I'm like, assume the position. I'm getting spanked every day by the Word of God. and I'm having to change a lot of thoughts, a lot of the ways I'm doing things. I ain't got it all done yet. Believe me, I got a long way to go. I'm plowing a rough field right now. But I'm plowing. God knows I'm willing. So, you know, if I'm going to be miserable, you're going to be miserable with me. You're going to do this with me. You're not leaving me do this all by myself. Listen, I'm fully convinced this is the heart of God. This is the message of God. Jesus said, this is it. This is the fulfillment. I read it to you verbatim, multiple scriptures, multiple times, multiple situations. So we need to look into this book, and we need to understand how we treat the people around us. When we align ourselves with the teaching and training that comes from this word, this fulfillment, then we position ourselves at the same time for those reciprocal blessings to enter into our life. It's the law of reciprocation. It's a heavenly law with an earthly precedent. If Jesus himself said that the entire law and the prophets are fulfilled in the scripture, then you cannot open this book without having to pull it through this filter. You can't live your life then without pulling it through this filter first. So whatever we do, decisions we make, choices we make, the things we do, we should be pulling them through this filter to make sure that they're consistent with the calling. Live in peace. Always be thankful. To make sure that we're fulfilling our calling, because we can't get down to those two until we've done the other things, right? And the only way we're going to do that is we're going to have to pull it through the filter. Is that consistent with Scripture? I want to say this so bad, but is that what the Scripture says I can say? Man, I want to do this so bad. I want to react this way. I want to just go in. I'm going to show everybody that, well, pull it through this first, please. Because you're about to affect your peace. And you're about to affect the reason to be thankful. You got to be full for you're thankful. Sometimes you have to stop. You have to seek the things of God and see if what you're doing is lining up with what God is saying. And what you're not doing, is it lining up with what God's saying? So, let me say it this way. Let me give you an example. You have to make a decision. So the next obvious question is, how will it affect the people around me? I want to do this, or I want to do that. Well, how will it affect these people? Your choices will do one of two things. They will either bless or make a mess. So which one you want to do? Come on with something you had planned this week, something you had planned tomorrow, something you're ready to do. Come on, some of y'all was thinking about it when you walked in here today. I'm going to show so-and-so. I'm about to do this. I'm going to do that. Boy, you just wait. I'm going to tell them. Well, bless? Are you about to make a mess? Choices. I'll smile when I say it. Colossians 3:14. Above all, clothe yourselves with love. Above all, everything, no matter what you're doing, you got to put on love. Remember, say you got to put it on. So if we're going to love people the way God wants us to, we're going to have some type of measuring stick to know that we've hit the mark. Is that fair? You can't manage what you can't measure. So I'm going to give you the measuring stick. Ready? Write it down. 1 Corinthians 13:4. I don't care what translation you use. Let's just go with the New Living Translation again. They're all the same. Love is patient and kind. So there's two qualifications right there. You have to be patient. And you have to be kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. How many times are we just rude? guilty. I've done it. Sometimes I do it before I even know I've done it. I don't think it would be my intent or to be intentional to be rude, but I've thought about some things I've done. I thought, well, that's kind of rude. I was short with that person. I didn't mean to be short with that person. I was just reacting. No, what happened was I didn't pull it through the filter first. Now, that wasn't a kind thing to do. It's because I didn't pull it through the filter first. Now, one of my gifts is long-suffering. Now, I'm sorry, but I'll take. But I've had times when I wasn't patient. You know, I'll throw myself under the bus because y'all won't do it for yourself. So I'll throw myself under. But I am telling the truth. And then I'll go back and I think about the situation and I went, now, why was I in such a hurry to make that decision? Why didn't I take my time? Seek God. If I seek, I'll find it. If I knock, it'll be open. There'll be a door of opportunity there. But I didn't do any of that. And so what happens is then you work against, you're opposed to the thing of God, and you do the thing you shouldn't have done instead of the thing God requested you to do, and there's no blessing in it. So you find yourself cleaning up a mess. Mess on aisle four. Man, there was a time there was mess all over my store. Clean up on aisle seven. Anybody ever had a clean up on aisle seven moment? It's so bad you got to call friends. It's been bad enough y'all had to call me. Don't tell me. Y'all sit out there and look all holy if you want. I'm just telling you. But you know what? It's okay. You know why? Because you called. And then what you don't realize is the moment you called, I had a chance to knock. Because you became a door of opportunity for me. Because the moment then I could help you, then I'm fulfilling the plan of God, which is also aligning your life up. At the same time, I'm lining my life up. And so that's how iron sharpens iron. See, we've always thought about iron sharpening iron as I'm God's stud. I'm the man. And you go up to another, I'm the man. And we brush shoulders and sparks fly. Because we're sharpening each other's iron. That ain't how it works. Sharpening is painful. You got a shard. Pieces are coming off. You're shaving the old hard exterior off. You know, that means you're gonna tell me what's right when I don't want to hear what's right. You're going to do what you're supposed to do even when I won't do it. Sometimes you have to do it for me. Sometimes you'll step in and clean up my mess. That's iron sharpening iron. Sometimes we get these valiant thoughts in our mind, these illusions of grandeur that we're permeating through our thinking processes. They're not legitimate. And it's not where we live. If you don't mind, I'd rather you know, I'm just trying to get where we're living. And where I want to be is I want to have the heart of Christ. It's getting there. A whole lot better than it used to be. How many people would say, God's doing a pretty good job with me right now? No, I know we're not there, but man, aren't we getting there? Don't we want to get there? Don't we want to do better? See, we just want to do better. I'm just trying to show you how we do it. And the way we do it is we look into the Word and we pull it through the filter, and then we try to follow the plan of God. And we follow the plan of God, we get the results of God. And so here's your measuring stick. You got to be patient. You got to be kind. Don't be jealous. I got to just walk away from this for a minute. Because listen, I know folks, listen, somebody will come up and get a new car. I am more excited for them than if I was getting it myself. I mean, if I find out you're getting a new car, I'm going to run out and pee on three or four trees. I'm so excited. Don't worry, I'll do it when nobody's looking. Come on, y'all, we're in church. I mean, I get excited because I'm so happy to see, wow, you've been faithful, and look at God. Touch your life, bless your life, put blessing on it, reciprocating the blessing because you're doing what you're supposed to do, and he's going to do what he does. Man, that's exciting. Man, don't take the low road. Don't be looking over going, well, I wonder when I'm going to get my car. You're not. It's not coming. You're going to be riding that skateboard for the next 6 months till you get your heart right. That's what's wrong. Man, by the way, clean up the rust. You got rust all over the place. You're dropping it everywhere you go. Clean up your mess. Are you listening to me? Take opportunity when you have it. Man, be excited for somebody when they get something. Share in their blessing. The Bible says rejoice with other people. And you know what? They'll be right there rejoicing when yours is coming because you're next in line. The moment you bless them, you're next in line. Look at your neighbor and say, you're next in line. You might as well start shouting now. Tell them. Now, I wasn't going to take this long on these, but I got to follow the host. Can I have maybe 5 more minutes? I don't know, just 5 more minutes. And then I'll clean it up. I'm almost done. But boastful, proud, and rude. Listen, let me tell you, that's kind of a family there, little family. I'm going to say something that's going to break your heart. You ready? You don't know everything. No, you don't. You don't. You really don't. Nobody does. I don't. You don't. And if you're too proud to receive instruction, you will never grow past your handicap. Listen, do you know why I'm as successful as I am? I mean, I don't know how successful I am, but the measure of success that I have, I attribute it to one thing. I've always put people around me that are smarter than I am. And I learned to listen to them. Listen, we just made a decision that I'm going to announce. It was on the fly. The Lord's been speaking it to me, working to me, and this morning he brought it up again. And so my counsel, when they were praying with me, I said, guys, before you leave, can I ask you something before we walk out in service? Now, I know we discuss things usually when we go through, but I said, I want your heart on this because I wasn't going to make a decision without bouncing it off the people I trust and love. I said, what do you think about this? It was unanimous. They, oh, man, yeah. See, then I knew I had counsel. Safety in the multitude of counsel, the Bible says. See, then a peace came on me because I did it God's way. I ran it through the system. I filtered it through the Word of God. And man, now I got my answer. And at the end of service, I'm going to announce it to you. No, I'm not telling you right now. You have to listen to the rest of my sermon. If y'all leave, I ain't going to tell you. And so, the more you allow this to override this, the better your life is going to be. Simply said. It does not demand its own way. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. We all struggle with this. We all want our own way. Yes, we do. Don't shake your head no at me. Yes, we do. We really do want our own way. Now, we've learned, because we got married, that ain't going to happen. If you're not married, I'm going to move on from that. You will get your first lesson in not demanding your own way when you get married. Why? Because two become one. Well, let me help you here. When you and the Lord became one, you don't get your way. You used to get your way, but now it's his way. And out of his grace and his mercy, he gives you a say. He shouldn't even give you a say. He should make you do this and make you do that. But he loves you enough to give you the choice to choose. I've heard people say, well, I'm just free to be me. No, you're not. Show me that in the scripture. Now, if you're going to make a stupid statement like that, you better have a scripture ready for me. Now, if you're of the world, yeah, you're free to be whatever you want to be, whoever you want to be. You can be a dog, cat, whatever you want to be if you're in the world. And go be that, and I hope it works out for you. But if you're in kingdom, as they would say in the South, it's not fitting. It's not appropriate. And so, no, you're free to be who God says you should be. Can I say it that way? And I'm giving you the measuring stick on what that should look like. Now, you are going to look like you, and you are going to look like you, and I'm going to look like me. We're not going to look, you know, we're going to have individuality, but we're going to act the same. We're going to operate under the same code of ethics. We're going to love each other the same way. And it's going to be a good love. It's going to be a healthy love. It's not going to be a manipulative love. And I'm going to walk away from these notes for a minute because I'm going to say something right now. His love is unconditional. And if your love is conditional, let me tell you something. If it's all about, because, you know, people will say, well, as long as you do this and as long as you do that, then I love you. Right? Yeah. Well, just remember, anytime you're exchanging favors for someone's love, that's a form of prostitution. God doesn't want any part of that. No, I love you because I love you. Now, the way we conduct our affairs, we'll talk about that, but keep it separate from the love pile. I'm going to love you no matter what. I'm going to love you if I want to split your head open. I'm still going to love you. And the reason I love you is the reason why I'm not splitting your head open. You follow what I'm saying? So there has to be a conduct or a code of conduct in which we operate from. So we talk about what you have to put on to be able to forgive people. And if you can put that forgiveness in your heart and you have that forgiveness, then you'll be able to live in peace and always be thankful. How many people want to live in peace and always be thankful? Doesn't that sound more like the church that Jesus talks about? That's all we want. Glory to Him, that's all we want. We just want you to live in peace and be thankful. Now, not for what you don't have, be thankful for what you got. Let's start with that. And then we'll believe God for the things that you don't have, but you're thankful whether you have them or not. And in doing that, when it's your time to shine, I'm gonna throw gas on the fire. I want you to shine brighter. If you're being blessed this week, I'm going to get so excited for you that God is going to see my excitement. I'm not doing it because of what I can get. I'm doing it because it's genuine. I'm doing it because it's who I am. If you'll remember when God revealed himself, Jesus revealed himself as God. He said, I am that I am. God's looking for who you are. Because he is the I am. Do you understand that? So love is patient, it's kind, it's not jealous, boastful, proud, or rude, doesn't demand its own way, it's not irritable. And guys, I'm not gonna go any farther past this one, because I'm gonna bunch the other ones up. But it keeps no records of wrong. Now listen to me. Every time you have an argument, don't go back up and drag the pig out of the mud from 20 years ago. Come on, don't go back digging up bones. What's that song? I'm digging up bones, resurrecting things that should have been left alone. Leave it alone. Christ says he'll put it in a sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. Look at your neighbor and say, forget about it. The only way you're going to get past your past is to forget about it. And I've said it a million times, but I'm going to say it a million and one. Never allow your past to steal away from your future. That means you don't use someone's past against them. Got to move on because I'm closing here now. does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Now listen, these four things, I'm going to group them together. And this is to encourage you. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Always hopeful. And endures through every circumstance. These last four are the pillars of our faith and our foundation. And the only way we can complete our assignments from God is if we adhere to these things. So this is our Christian code of conduct. And let's tell the truth. Based on this criteria, is there anyone here really feeling love this morning? Because I'm not feeling it. Because most of the love that comes from folk is unconditional. Galatians 6:9 says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. But just at the right time, say he's an on-time God, we will reap a harvest of blessing. Say at the right time. Well, when's God going to do it? Say just at the right time. Well, I've been praying and praying. When's it going to happen? Just at the right time. Well, when's he going to get this situation fixed for me? Because, man, I'm living this every day. Just at the right time. If, and if you have your Bible, circle that. If, that's it, this promise is a conditional promise. If we don't give up. If we don't give up. Do anything but don't give up. The law of reciprocation is you do your part and God will do his. So I started this sermon with a question. Remember? What causes these quarrels and fights among you? Is it the evil desires inside of you? And then we walked through and saw, hopefully we saw ourselves in there a lot of the time. So is it really God's fault we're not being blessed? Or maybe it's something we could do to create a reciprocal blessing. That as we're loving others, God can send the blessing back to us. Not just loving them, but loving them the way God wants us to love them. So I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to leave you with a question since we started with one. Since if we do our part, God will do his. The question I'll leave you with, are you sure that you're doing your part? Can you please stand to your feet? I started by saying, I don't tell people what to do. I only tell people what God requires. The choices are always up to us. But I hope you heard enough today to be challenged to want to be better. How many people want to be better? Do you really want that peace? Do you really want that every day you're so thankful? Because if you do, there are some things we're going to have to do and some things that we're not. So the intent every time you walk into this sanctuary is to hear the Word of God, to be challenged by it, to provoke you so that the blessing of God can come upon your life. So, Lord, I pray over every person in this house. And I ask you to invoke a blessing upon their life. God, I pray that every person will consider and reconsider every word that was spoken, every line upon line, every precept, everything that was taught from your Word of God. Lord, I pray it would challenge them to the core of their being. to be able to sift through their life and say, how can I better serve you, Lord? How can I better obey you? How can I serve the people around me the way that you want me to do it? So, Lord, we are asking as a collective body, help us, Holy Spirit, to be able to know the things to say, the things not to say, to do the things we need to do and not to do the things that we don't. Lord, give us strength at our time of weakness. Those moments, those wait-a-minute moments when we have to make critical decisions that can affect us for the rest of our life. God, please step in. Guide our thinking so we can guard our actions. I believe that every person in here walks out of here better today. I believe every person that walks out of here now will invoke the blessing of God upon their life because they are changed. So, Lord, we thank you in advance for all of the wonderful things that are about to break forth in glory to Him in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise, please? Did this help anybody today? Guys, there's a big world out there. There are people out there that have no idea what love is. They've never experienced this. See, for those of us who are saved, we've already experienced that mercy. We've experienced that forgiveness. We've experienced that grace. Folks out there, they've been condemned, not convicted. They've never got to feel the joy of the Lord. They've never got to experience what it's like for somebody to love them when they don't have to give something back in return. So I'm challenging every one of us in this building that when we go out of here today, this week, next week, the weeks to come, that we walk out in this community and we show people what love looks like. I'm talking about unconditional love. How many people would say, I'll do my best to do that, to make that effort? So that's your homework assignment. Go love as many people as you can. The right way. The holy way. The God way. That family at home. Love them the God way. Those friends, love them the God way. The people at your job, even that boss that you think's out to get you, love him or her the right way. And let's see if the reciprocal blessing of God doesn't come on your life. Now I'm going to look across the congregation because I never want anyone to leave this building that didn't get the chance to come to salvation of the Lord because some folks just don't even understand it or know about it. Well, listen, Romans 10:9 says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he died on a cross and he rose again for your sins, if you believe that and then you confess it in a prayer, that you'll be saved. That word saved is the word sozo. It means healed and restored in every area in your life. Who doesn't want to be healed and restored in every area of your life? So I don't want anybody here to ever walk out of here without the opportunity to have that honor and that privilege bestowed upon them. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to look around real quick. We're going to pray in here in just a minute. And when we pray, we're not going to hear to embarrass anybody. But I just like to know as I'm praying and leading the prayer, I just like to kind of know who I'm agreeing with. So if that's for you, it's you today. Jesus wasn't ashamed to die for you in public. And so I don't think you should be ashamed to receive him in public. So if you're here today, you'd say, yeah, Pastor, I want to do that. I just want to make him my Lord because I liked about the promises you talked about today and the reciprocal blessing. Is there anybody here who would raise your hand today and say, that's me, Pastor? Nobody's going to embarrass you or talk to you. But is anybody here? Thank you for those hands. You're so honest. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you for that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. There's nothing like honesty in the house of God. Now, some of you may have said, well, you know, I've been saved before, but you know, kind of backslid. I got away from God. Hey, it happens. Sometimes I don't even know how it happens. Sometimes it happens too easy. The fact is, you are where you are. Nobody's here to judge. Let's just get it fixed, man. Let's not talk about it. Let's just fix it and put it in the sea of forgiveness. Okay, made a mistake. I'm not going to do it again. Okay? Be like Jesus. Just go and sin no more. Okay? If that's you today and you'd say, Pastor, include me in on that prayer today, let me see those hands. Can I see those hands across the house? Good. Thank you for that hand. 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 Thank you. Thank you for that hand. So we have people that are responding to the call of God. And that means all of heaven, when we complete the prayer and we say amen, is going to rejoice at the end of this prayer. Because Jesus gets up and he writes your names in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a wonderful sight. Can you imagine? And it says all of heaven's rejoicing. So after we say amen, if you don't mind, I think we should rejoice with heaven for just a few moments as well, because our souls coming into the kingdom. Amen? So what I want to do is I want to do exactly what I said. I want to pray for everybody. So yeah, we're all going to pray. It's not important that you hear me pray or you hear the people around you, but you hear yourself making that proclamation of faith over your life. The moment you say amen, it means so be it, it's done, it's finished, and then it's settled. So everyone bow your head, repeat after me. Say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to come into my heart, fill me, cleanse me, and make me every whit whole. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. Therefore, I'm a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new in my life. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home. And you are now my Lord. I believe it, now confess it, and that settles it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's rejoice with heaven. All the angels are just having an incredible time in heaven right now. You know, before I sit down on my part, before the announcements come back up, could I just take a minute and commend you as a church? I tell you this often, but I want you to know you're the best sheep in the world. It's so nice to come up before a mature crowd that understand and want the deeper things of God. You're not here for a little story to make you feel better, pat you on the back. No, you want to know. You want to hear the hard things too, because it's the hard things that make you better. You know, you can't get sharp unless you rub up on something hard like a stone or iron, right? Sometimes you have to hear those hard things. And sometimes they sting a little bit. And sometimes you don't even want to hear them. But I want to commend you on your willingness to hear the Word of God and to allow it to keep changing you. Because that's how we all get better. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Remember, I'm getting it right off the spout. So it's hitting me the hardest. And sometimes I got to just put my Bible down, walk away, and I got to repent to God because he's showing me things I didn't even know. Or maybe I knew, but I just didn't realize how intense and how important they are. So I'm going to ask you the same thing. You know, that's a lot of material. I put probably 30 hours a week in on a sermon. So, you know, these things are studied out. So I'm going to ask you, please go back online and watch it again. You know, unless you just have photographic memories, that's a lot of information. Now, I try to break it down and make it simple. But if you want to break out these verses and look and see what time has been put in for you, I'm telling you, they're a rich resource, and they will change you. Pastor Joe just came up to me. He said, you know, he said, I heard your sermon. He said, I went back because I was listening, but I went back, and a couple times I was listening to it through the week. He said, man, he said, I got my notes out. He said, I didn't realize all that was in there. You know, it's just the way it is. Your ears hear the things that you're dealing with right now, but there's a lot of other things your mind still needs to know. And so I want to encourage you through the week. That's why we put that as a resource, to be able to go back and to listen to it. And you know what else it does? It brings us all together into one mind, in one accord. How nice it is we're all working on the same thing. Do you know how great it is as a church to know that we're all working on how to treat each other better? Man, that can only end up one way, real good. Amen. So that way we all benefit. So again, as your pastor, I just want to thank you. I don't get to tell you enough how much love and appreciate you, but you are some of the kindest, sweetest, most generous people I've ever had the privilege to be part of, and to be able to call you family is the greatest honor of my life. I love you. Thank you.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Dr. Hanen. Hey, you promised us an announcement. We've been waiting patiently.
What? Y'all act like you're waiting on something. Okay. So every Sunday, we come here as a church, and we give you 100% of the best that we have. And we feel that that's necessary because of the world we're living in. And we want to make sure you're prepared when you walk out of here. And on Wednesday nights, you know, we've had Bible studies and we've had classes and we've done things, but we have met together as a church beforehand and talked about it. And then today, when the Lord spoke to me, I feel it's time. Starting this Wednesday night, this next coming Wednesday night, we're going back to full service on Wednesdays. Full service. And so what does that mean? We're going to go back to what we call the power hour. We know people have responsibilities through the weeks, so we're going to come in 1 hour. We're going to come in, we're going to praise God like we've never praised Him. We're going to get a word dropped in our spirit to get us through the rest of our week to Sunday. Our kids are going to be there on campus with us. Our youth can be over there receiving like our children are on Sunday mornings, so our youth can get stronger. They need to be here. You need to bring your kids to church. And if you're here, they'll be here. And if they'll be here, you'll be here. We all get strong in the process. So if you're as excited as I am about this, can you please let God know right now? Just so we will see you Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And listen, what a great time to bring some folks. All right? So how about on Wednesdays and Sundays now, you start finding somebody and bringing them to church? Let's just make it a thing. We're going to see how many people we can find to bring to church because they want the same promise that you get. Amen? All right, everybody. Thank you.